Brethren, it is good for us to be here, and we want to just give God thanks for his loving kindness towards us. You know, and when we think, you know, brethren, that we are going through this Christian life, and it's not always an easy road. No. It's not always an easy road. And we have to just give God thanks because we have a common enemy in Satan. And he's trying to hinder us. You know, he wants to take us away from events like this where we can worship Almighty God to praise and to just honor him because he's due our worship. And we recognize that when we come here, often we are at this point in a good place because we are in the house of God. But away from here, life is happening. And so we have all types of crosses that we are bearing. And so we just give thanks that we are able to come out even today to honor and to glorify him. And we want to just you know, recognize our song leaders and the many others who, in their own way, are helping to make sure that things are carrying on. Yes? Because we are part of one body. All right? We have a common hope. You know, it's a common journey that we are on. You know, the song leaders, you know, come and they lead our minds in so much truth. You know, the songs that we sing in praise and honor to God, you know, Brother Wilson, I'm going to touch you a little, not because COVID time, you know, I know there are other factors, you know, but we know that you had stepped up in terms of the beautification of the podium, you know, with the flowers. But when persons do these little things, we want to appreciate their efforts, you know, those who see to the cleaning of the building, there were many more of me around, still some, in terms of the webs, all right, and those who took made the effort to get rid of some of them, and then, you know, in the cleaning of it, sometimes the residue falls on us, and somebody says, "See, boy, the cobweb drop on Brother Webb." But it's because of their effort to clean it up, some little residue has left, you know, the yards, the surroundings. So different ones of us play different roles, and we want to appreciate, and the Bible speaks about it. The eye is different from the ears, but we all work together for things to work well in the edification and the building up of the church. So it's not only those who come in the pulpit, you know, we play a role, but the church depends on so many of us. And let us never be weary in well-doing. Let us continue to bring one another to God. All right, we have different talents. All right, and the extent that we use it for the Almighty God is wonderful. Let us bow in prayer. Mighty God in heaven, we just thank you for allowing us to be in this place to Lord, magnify and praise your name. Mighty God, I ask that you just be with me in a special way now as I share your truth, that I will be able to share in a way that we can all understand. Dear God, that we can all become better Christians and better subjects for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We want to continue our study. I'm going to title the lesson today, "We cannot be saved like that thief without baptism." You know, it's really part four. But, I'm changing it up a bit because it's really still on the general series that we have been on in terms of the male factor crucified. But we want to zero in on the fact that while there are many lessons that we learn and can learn from the male factors on the cross, that a lesson that we should not take because it's misguided is that we can be saved like the thief on the cross without a baptism. And we, in earlier lessons, had pointed out that there are many lessons that we and messages that we can garner from the male factors on the cross. And among them, as we looked, was that the extent that we want to serve God, the extent that we want to be pleasing to Almighty God, we can invoke the power. We can invoke a positive response from heaven. We can invoke the saving power of God. And so when that male factor, that thief on the cross, solicited the help of Jesus Christ in the most important need that mankind has, and says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," that power can still be invoked today. We can still solicit a response from Jesus Christ. But what we want to understand is the how that we do so. Because Jesus Christ, having the power to save, when he could have just turned to that male factor representing all of us and said, he could have said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus Christ has not lost that saving power. In fact, he says in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, the text that was read earlier, that Christ says that he has all power and all authority in heaven and in earth. But then he quickly proceeded to say that even though he has the power, that he has placed this in earthen vessels. And we spent a lot of time looking at that last week, and we'll be continuing even today. And in entrusting the gospel to earthen vessels, he says, "Earthen vessels, go, teach, baptize." And so we recognize that even though Jesus Christ has the power to save, even though he can, like he did on the cross, could just usher that thief into a saved state by his words. And as we saw while he sojourned this land, that he could have, just in the same way he said, "Be healed," he could say, "Your sins are forgiven you." Jesus Christ has now indicated and showed us clearly that in his saving power, he has placed it in earthen vessels. And so we want to build up to show that even as he has put this in earthen vessels, in human beings, in those of us made up of dust, over and over again. In fact, in the book of Acts, the book of conversion, what we see is that in every situation,
In every case where there is going to be saving, where one is going to step out from being a non-Christian to a Christian, they had to be baptized. And so we say again, as we did last week, to think that we can be saved without baptism, to think that we can be saved like the thief on the cross, that's the wrong message. We saw last week, as we studied, we examined the day of Pentecost, right after Christ died, which represented the day that the church of Christ, the kingdom of God, was established. And we saw clearly that even though this was a special day, a first day of the week, the day that we rightly call the Lord's Day, that even though the church was going to be established on this day, that the message of salvation did not come from the words and the mouth of Jesus Christ, but it came from an earthen vessel, the Apostle Peter. And he stood up, as we saw in Acts chapter 2, and he stood up and he spoke. He shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, something we said last week, but I'm going to say it again because I love it. And so since I have the opportunity, I'm going to say it again. Us earthen vessels, Christians, persons entrusted with the gospel to share, to evangelize, we are not perfect. And so let us not become hesitant in sharing the gospel because we are in ourselves recognize that we are troubled. Because though we are troubled, we are not distressed. Though we are perplexed, we are not in despair. Though persecuted, we know that God has not forsaken us. Though we are bothered with things and we are cast down, brethren, cast down does not mean that we are destroyed. And so, as imperfect as we are the ones that God has chosen to entrust the word of Jesus Christ, to preach Christ to those lost. But can I tell you that the Apostle Peter, and let's turn to Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. He was not perfect. You know, in fact, it was the same apostle of all the apostles that denied Jesus Christ. But Christ spoke to him ahead of even this activity. And he says something. He says, the devil desires you. You are there? Verse 31.
Verse 31. And the Lord said.
And the Lord said. So this is Jesus Christ speaking to Peter. And he says what?
Simon, Simon.
Simon, this is same Peter.
Behold.
Behold,
Satan had desire to have you.
I want you to know that Satan desires to have you.
That he may sift.
I want you to know, Peter, that the devil desires to have you. I am standing here and I'm taking that message.
Amen.
I am saying, Fabian, I know that the devil desires to have you.
Amen.
That person sitting where you are in that same seat, that same bench, that same seat that you are sitting, the devil desires to have you. And you. The devil desires to have us. The devil has not become allergic to you or to you. The devil desires to have you. But then he didn't stop there. He says what?
That he may sift you as wheat.
The devil is going to sift you as wheat. You know, I noticed that I don't see it much anymore. But I can remember growing up. It's like the flour had more weevil than I see today. I don't know if I'm getting a different brand or I'm getting them newer or what. I don't know. But I can take the risk now. In fact, when I'm making the dumpling, these days, you know, I don't sift it. I just take it out and start doing my thing. Before, I dare not do that. Because I had to sift to make sure that the weevil don't go into the dumpling, unless I want some real protein dumpling. But here it is that the devil wants to sift us.
You.
Yeah. But then something beautiful comes out of the message. Sift you.
But I have prayed for thee.
But Jesus Christ is on our side. Even though Christ has entrusted the gospel to us earthen vessels, he has not left us.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is interceding and working with us because we are on the same mission that he's on.
Amen.
So in reality, we have joined Jesus Christ in a grand and beautiful mission to seek and to save the lost. And he says, I've prayed for you.
That thy faith fail not.
So when you are sifted, when you are going through your trials and it comes in different ways, sometimes it's health, sometimes it is something that somebody says, something that somebody has done to you and it tries you. But he says, when you are sifted, read.
That thy faith fail not.
That when you are tried and sifted, don't allow it to take away your faith. And so I'm saying, as we as Christians join into this throng of evangelizing, we are going to be tested.
Amen.
But never let that testing take away our faith.
Amen.
The devil desires to sift you, to take you like a strainer.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop there.
And when thou art converted.
And when thou art converted.
Strengthen thy brethren.
Strengthen thy brethren. And so, what are we saying here? Here we see Paul, Peter. At this juncture, he didn't even know what he was up against. He didn't know even at this point that he was going to deny Jesus Christ. In fact, if we read down, you'll see how sure off and certain,
yeah,
and confident and bold he was that he would not desert Jesus Christ. That if it came to it, you know, in his own words, he said, you know, if I have to die, I'll die for you. And yet, he denied Jesus Christ. Can we make some application? Sometimes we have gone through things as Christians. And we wonder if by the action that we have done in the past, if we are qualified. If we are being hypocrites when we now take the gospel to someone else.
Yeah.
But here's it. As children of God, as persons on a mission with him, we may have failed. We may have been sifted or are being sifted. But let us not relinquish the job that we have been given.
Amen.
As earthen vessels, the ones to whom the gospel has been entrusted. Let us never do so, because here it is. As much as Peter denied Jesus Christ, As much as he fell short of what he thought he would have done when confronted with some things that sometimes we think we have it handled, that we can manage the challenge, and when it comes, we crumble. But let us get up, because God can use us. Here, Peter, at the inauguration, the start, the beginning of the most wonderful institution that this world has ever seen, the church. And it is in him that the gospel was entrusted. Even though Jesus Christ is the head of the church, it is to Peter that he entrusted the gospel to be preached. No matter what we have gone through, let us remain faithful, or let us get back faithful to Almighty God.
Amen. Amen.
And allow him to use us in the work of the ministry.
Amen. Amen.
To use us in the work of the kingdom and of the church.
Amen.
Jesus Christ did not preach. The Holy Ghost was present, but it was not the Holy Ghost. It wasn't a heavenly vessel that proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we had looked at, as we had scanned Acts chapter 2, you know, from about verse 14 following, we saw that Peter stood up. But let me hasten on to talk about what Peter said, because we don't want to forget what we're talking about. Can we be saved like that thief on the cross without baptism?
Right.
So when the earthen vessel, Peter, spoke about Jesus Christ and they understood the truth of the gospel, they begged that question. So in Acts chapter 2, we are at about verse 36. We see that the audience, yeah, there, let's read it as
Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom he have crucified.
That is part of Peter sharing the gospel. Yes.
Whom he have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles.
Let's not miss it.
Men and brethren.
When Peter preached, the persons realized that they needed to do something, and they said, what must we do? So Peter preached the message, the truth of the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ. And he says to them, you have to do something. So there are certain things about the gospel that we need to know. There are certain facts about the gospel. But beyond the facts about the gospel, there are some things about the gospel that we need to obey.
Amen.
And you know, many persons, including those who sometimes want to be like that thief on the cross, they are quite fine to know the truth of the gospel. That Jesus Christ left heaven, he came to earth, he lived, he died, he was resurrected, he's ascended on high, he's gone to prepare a place. The truth of the gospel they embrace. In fact, when you listen to them, you wonder if you believe the gospel, because they speak about it with such passion. But then now, when it comes on to the fact that you need to obey certain things that it relates to the gospel, if they want to hold on to some and leave out others. But Peter not only shared the facts of the gospel, But he also shared with them the things that they need to obey as it relates to the gospel. And so you're at verse 38.
Then Peter said,
because remember now, they asked a question, what are we going to do now? And he says what?
Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins.
So he says, among the things you need to do now is to repent and be baptized. Don't miss it. Hear the earthen vessel to whom God has entrusted the gospel. In his discourse, now comes clearly and says,
repent.
If you are to be saved, it is important that you do some things. And included in those things that you need to do is that you must be baptized. Do you see it? The earthen vessel says that you need to be baptized. So you want to be saved like the thief on the cross. But Jesus Christ have now said, go, teach, baptize. And then when we are seeing it in play, as we are seeing it now on the day of Pentecost at the start of the church, Peter is saying clearly, I am preaching the message. I am being a true entrusted earthen vessel. And I'm saying, says Peter, if you want to know what to do to be saved, it includes baptism. So let me fill up my little table here. So, audience, well, help me a little. Give me some other words for audience. Prospect. Give me another word for audience. The fields are white on the field. Candidate. Okay, we can. So these are, so the audience in this situation were the Jews. And because I don't want to tie up the brother's tongue, then I won't spell this out. Because it was many different persons, all right, making up this audience. But let's just conveniently call it the Jews. All right, because you had the Jews and you had non-Jews who took on the Jewish faith, the proselytes and others. That was the audience. And what we saw is that even though Christ would have had a part, even though the Holy Spirit would have had a part, it wasn't them. They weren't the vessel. It was Peter. We could say it was a earthen vessel. So what type of vessel? Not a heavenly vessel, but a earthly or earthen vessel. You see how much things I wanted to say last week I didn't get to say? Let me hasten on because I don't want to find myself at the same spot again at the end. All right. So that was one audience. We also touched last week when we went now to the eunuch. He was the prospect. He was the part of the field, white unto harvest. He wanted the truth. And what does scripture say about, you know, the field being white unto harvest? The laborers are few. You know what that is saying? God don't have enough earthen vessel. So the earthen vessel is not the person standing at the pulpit. It's not one or two brothers and sisters who follow up on the visitor's card. It is each of us going out as we go to work and school.
And the young people them say, what are you talking about, brother Webb? We don't go out to school.
As you are on your social media, you can bring the gospel. So here we have the eunuch.
I get into trouble anytime I spell on the board, so let me say it.
The eunuch.
All right, let me spell it out. Help me spell it.
Eunuch. E-U-N-U-C-H. All right.
Eunuch. Okay, good.
So here we saw the eunuch, this noble man. He was studying the word. And we had Philip, the earthen vessel. We looked at that last week. And we looked also at the fact that it was an angel that pointed Philip to the eunuch. And we saw as well, so we saw reference to angel. We saw reference to spirit. Were they one and the same? It's not. We saw Philip. But what we pointed out from last week is that even though the angel and the spirit were present, it was Philip to whom the responsibility to share the truth, to study with that prospect that was entrusted. It was to Philip. And so we recognize that we have a responsibility. You know, verse 26 of Acts chapter 8, you know, says something. And a few years ago, I don't know if it still exists. You know, there was this big feud, you know, gang-related thing right here in Jamaica. You know, so it was, even in the music industry got caught up in it. Yeah? Gaza versus Gully. We remember that? Yeah, it was a big riff. Here it is. Read verse 26 for me.
And the angel of the Lord
spake. And the angel
of the Lord spake unto Philip.
Spake unto Philip.
Saying.
And he said to Philip.
Arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza.
So here it is that we might be in the gully. But we have to go to the Gaza. We cannot discriminate. Wherever the gospel is needed, we need to go there. Amen. We can't be sharing the gospel only when we are here. We must be prepared to take it to the Gaza of work. Yeah. We need to be able to take it to the Gaza of school. Not just when we are in the house of God, when we are in the gully of the church. That's a good analogy. We might feel comfortable, but sometimes we have to go to the deserted places. Once the gospel is needed there, as the earthen vessel, we must be prepared to go to the desert. We must be prepared to go to the Gaza.
Amen.
To share the gospel. Yes. But let's not stray too much from the point that here again, the vessel was not a heavenly vessel that shared the gospel. But let us look at exactly what he shared. Yeah, pick up for me at verse 38. Yeah, you see that Acts 8? We're still at the eunuch.
And he commanded the chariot to stand still,
So here it is. So just to fast track the lesson. Here it is that Philip has approached the prospect and he starts to teach him about Jesus. And in talking to him about Jesus, we know that he shared the gospel. He not only shared the truth of the gospel, the facts of the gospel, but he also shared with him the facts that needed to be obeyed about the gospel. And so when the eunuch saw water, he asked a question: what does hinder me to be baptized? Finish reading verse 38 for me.
And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the
eunuch. Read verse 36 for me. Pick up at verse 36 and come back down.
And as they went on their way,
They came unto a certain water.
And the eunuch said,
See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He wanted to know what to do to be baptized.
And Philip says, if thou believest with all thine heart,
if you believe with all thy heart,
thou mayest.
So a lot of things happening. You know, we saw that he heard, he believed, you know. He obviously made a change. You know, we saw now that he was going to confess. But it didn't stop there. Because what he echoed there, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then verse 38 now again says something beautiful.
And he commanded
the chariot to stand still.
And they went down both into the water.
He was baptized. Philip, the earthen vessel, among the things as he shared the gospel, he says that the eunuch was baptized. How can we then be thinking that we can be saved like the thief on the cross? You see, where we are going and where we are is that in every case where there is saving after the cross, baptism was at play. It was a necessity. You know, if we are not careful, we probably miss a point. In verse 37, and Philip says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest what? It was talking about baptism. Because that's what the eunuch asked about. You mayest. And the may here is not a thing to say, well, I can choose. If I want to be saved, then I can choose if I want to or not. This mayest is saying, if you want to be saved, then you must be baptized. So don't get confused with this may. This may say, if you want to be saved, you must be baptized. But hear what? God has made the audience, the prospect of such, that he doesn't have to be saved. He can choose not to be saved. And so that is the choice. So do you want to be saved or not? If you want to be saved, you must be baptized. But you don't have to. You can remain in an unsaved state. So don't get sidetracked now with this mist. You have a choice whether to accept. If you are hearing my voice, And that was your thought, that you could be saved like the thief on the cross without being baptized. I'm saying to you, you must be baptized. Every time, everywhere we see persons being saved after the cross, they were baptized. Let's continue. You're at Acts 8 still, right? Read on quickly. Continue reading.
And when they were come
out of the water, this is another lesson. Because this baptism is not a sprinkling. They went down both into the water and they came up. That's an immersion. Don't know that anybody fool you about any confirmation and sprinkling and pouring. It's a going down and a coming out. And then when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord, notice again, the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit was present, but the vessel was not a heavenly vessel, but an earthly vessel. Trusted in earthly vessel, and the vessel said, be baptized. Read on. Caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him
no more. And he went on his way rejoicing.
Rejoicing. Because having been baptized, having got the message from the earthen vessel, he was in a safe state, and therefore there is rejoicing. I didn't go there in Acts, but the same type of attitude was there when Peter shared the truth of the gospel, told him what to do. You know, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Again, I say to those who want to be like the thief on the cross, and us as we try to teach them, are you running away from baptism because you do not gladly receive the word? If you gladly receive the word, you will be baptized. Did that make it up? You know, that's Acts 2 verse 41. They that gladly receive this word were baptized. If we reject baptism, we are saying clearly to Almighty God, we are saying to heaven, we do not gladly receive your word. Because when we receive the word, we will be baptized. No questions asked. And it's only then that you are ushered into the kingdom of God. Paul. All right, well. I end up back at the same spot again. Verse 40, continue reading. But Philip was found at Azotus and passed through and preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. You know, there's lesson in this too. The lesson in this is that anywhere we go, we need to take the gospel. Because when Philip left Gaza, he went to other cities. And so if we tie this back to the Great Commission again that we read earlier, go ye therefore, as you go, preach the gospel. So here it is that Philip was found in another city and passed through in many other cities and eventually came to this city, Caesarea. But the point is that as he passed through different cities, He preached. He shared the message. And guess what, brethren? I don't think Philip shared any other message or a different message than that which he shared with the eunuch. It's the same message. What was the message again? In verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture
and preached unto,
preach unto him Jesus. I am confident that as he went from city to city, he was preaching Jesus. And so as he went to the city and preached Jesus, then these persons would have heard that they must be baptized. We cannot be saved like the thief on the cross without baptism, because everywhere, in every city, embracing the gospel and the commission of Jesus Christ, Philip and the other apostles and all Christians would have been going. As they go, they would have taught and they would have baptized. Baptism is a central element in the gospel and in the teaching of Jesus Christ. We can't go anywhere else. Brethren, I'm smiling up here because I can't believe it. You know, I have a dope poem that said that. I say, I can't believe it. Because what I'm about to say is what I said last week. That I am excited about this other character, Paul. But I still have to leave it for another time. But you are still at Acts chapter 8? Continue reading. Because even though we break it up into chapters like this, you know, it's one big writing. All right? So he came and he came to Caesarea. Continue.
But Philip was verse 40.
We finished 40. We're moving on.
That's the end, 40.
Yeah, but I said the book not break up like that. So continue.
And Saul yet breathing out.
And Saul yet breathing out threatenings
and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Went up unto the high priest.
When we come back next time, we're going to talk about this character. We're going to see this character. We're going to see him as prospect. And later we're going to see this character as messenger, the vessel. And we're going to see some interesting things. And it's going to tell us that earthen vessel that you and I are, we have a responsibility to take the message. It's not any heavenly vessel. But every time these earthly vessels share the message of how to be saved, baptism is always there as something to be obeyed. The message is going to be yours now. I hope for those hearing the lesson that it has become clear that earthen vessel and not the heavenly vessel of Jesus Christ, nor his angels, nor the Holy Spirit, or God the Father himself will take the message, but it's us. And so you need to listen to what the Christian, the earthen vessel says, so long as they stick to the word of God. And in every situation, you need to be baptized. Baptized, baptized, immersed is the message. But as imperfect as we are as the earthen vessel, we need to rise up and share it. Nobody else. God won't command heaven down to share the gospel. It is you. It is me. Your circle of friends, family, you are the earthen vessel that God is going to rely on. Not me for them, but you for them. What is our reach? You are that earthen vessel. a sifting, as the devil will be having you, God expects that you will share the message. We are never perfect, but God will work with us that we don't lose our faith, so that we can share the faith.
You know, I had a perfect closing, but I don't get to it. So I just asked the song leader to come with a song of encouragement. You know, and we hope that the message has encouraged us in the quest to be earthen vessels, joining in the mission of Jesus Christ in the sharing of the good news. What's the song, brother?
Song number 588.
588. 588. Let us be standing as we sing.
588. We will hold 572. 588. And then we will hold 522. 572. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Singing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious flow that makes me white as snow. No other
fountain I know.
I'm singing nothing but the blood of Jesus for my pardon. Oh, singing nothing but the blood of Jesus for my cleansing. I'm singing nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh,
precious is the
blood.
I'm singing. Makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. I'm singing of Jesus. Oh, do not let this word depart, and close thine eyes against the lie. For sinners harden not your heart. Be safe, oh, today. Oh, why not today? Why not today? Oh, why not today? Will thou be saved? Then why not? Why not today? Oh, why not today? Oh, why not today? Why not today? Will thou be saved? Why not? Why not today? Amen. You may take your seat. It has been said from time to time from this pulpit, the message